House 74. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, we bring you the week's finest radio entertainment in Playhouse 74. When Sylvia Latimer's husband was killed in a car crash, she forced herself to face the future rather than mourn what was past. A future that appeared to be assured. Instead, she found herself destitute, and at every turn, Sylvia was helplessly dragged deeper into the abyss of despair, until all hope for any kind of future had faded into an impossibility. And finding a purse full of money only seemed to make matters worse, adding an overpowering guilty conscience to her other agonies. Life versus Mrs. Latimer is the story of a young mother's fight against the worst perversities of fate. As Sylvia, you can hear Jill Fenson. Life versus Mrs. Latimer by Ron Evans has been produced by Delphine Lethbridge for Playhouse 74.
I should think so, Mrs. Cope. Alan made provision for something like this. His insurance will pay off the house and keep us going until I can get a job and support myself.
Oh, that must be a relief for you, dear. I must say you're taking it very well.
Oh, well, put it down to the use of positive thought. When he was killed in that crash, I thought the world had come to an end. It's human to be like that, I suppose. And then I forced myself to look at it from a selfish angle. What about the future? I couldn't sit here and mope, living in the past. I had to be practical. You've been a great help too, Mrs. Cope.
I'm glad, dear. That's what neighbours are for.
The children have taken Alan's death easily. But then I think they're too young to really understand.
So there's nothing you need?
Oh, nothing. No, thank you. I'm sure everything will work out nicely.
Well, I must get back and start getting Hubert's supper ready. But don't forget to ask me if I can help in any way, Sylvia.
You've been such a help already.
Pop in later for a chat, if you like. After supper, say.
Oh, yes, I'll do that, if you don't mind. When I put the children to bed is the time I tend to feel a bit depressed. Oh, there's someone at the door.
See you later, then. Yes?
Good morning. My name's Miller of the Armour Insurance and Trust Company. I've called about your husband's policy.
Oh, yes. Please do come in.
Thank you.
Please sit down. Make yourself comfortable. Can I get you some tea? Coffee?
No, thanks.
You got my note informing you of my husband's death.
Yes. I was very sorry to hear about it. Kindly accept my condolences.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. I have here a copy of the death certificate and a copy of our policy.
I'm afraid I have bad news for you, Mrs. Latimer.
Bad news?
It seems your husband didn't keep up his payments. And the policy lapsed over 6 months ago.
But that can't be so. It was paid through his bank, directly by stop order.
I'm sorry, but on each occasion he had insufficient funds to meet it.
I know he was in financial difficulties, but... But surely he didn't neglect his insurance. I mean...
He did, I regret to say. It was a large premium, over R$100 a month.
I know. When he took it out, I said to him it was too much for our income, but things were better then, and The future prospects look brighter.
I called at his office sometimes twice a month to remind him. He was always going to try and raise the money to reinstate it. But every month, it was that much more.
Oh, I can imagine it. Alan was always an optimist.
I'm sorry. I know what a shock it must be to suddenly find this out.
But to say I'm shocked is an understatement. I'm appalled. I suddenly found myself 50,000 rand poorer in the last few minutes. What about the money he paid in?
The policy wasn't in force long enough for any of that to be returned. 2 years is the minimum.
So, what you're telling me is that I'm utterly destitute.
I only wish I could have brought you happier news. Oh, is that the time? I have another appointment, if you'll excuse me.
Of course. Here, I'll show you to the door.
It's all right, Mrs. Latimer. I can see myself out. Goodbye, and again, I'm very sorry.
Oh, Alan. How could you have done this to me?
I'm not pushing you.
Jenny, Peter, be a pair of angels and go upstairs and play in your room. I'm going to make supper now.
Why are you crying, Mummy?
I don't know, Peter. Sometimes people cry to make themselves feel better.
Why?
How can crying make them better?
Oh, it just does. But I don't know why.
Ah, Sylvia, I'm glad you came.
Where is Mr. Cope?
Sit down, dear. He's gone over the road to see a friend.
Oh.
I doubt if he'll be back much before 11. You're looking a bit pale. Are you all right?
Oh, I feel a lot better now, thank you. Just when you left, I had a visit from the insurance agent. Unknown to me, Alan must have stopped paying his premium.
Good heavens. Does that mean...
It means I'm virtually destitute.
Oh, no, surely not. There must be something coming back.
Not a single cent, I'm afraid.
Oh.
I checked up on it right after the agent left. There's nothing I can do about it.
And Alan never told you.
Oh, you knew Alan. Always believing that things would be all right tomorrow. Robbing Peter to pay Paul. That anything could happen to him was probably the furthest thought from his mind. Mine too, I must admit.
But whatever will you do now?
I wish I knew. The house will have to go. The payments would be impossible on the salary I'm likely to get when I fix up a job.
Oh, shame. I wish there was something I could do to help in that direction.
Oh, I suppose things will work out in the end. But it's going to be a long uphill climb.
How are you for cash? You know, something to keep you going.
Well, that's my immediate worry. I'm down to less than a rand.
Well, then, tomorrow I can lend you about 30 rand. Hubert won't object.
But, I don't know.
Don't worry about paying it back until you can afford it.
Oh, well, thank you. Very much, Mrs. Cope. It's eased my mind a little.
And now you must keep your positive thought and tomorrow morning go out and find a nice, well-paid job. Don't worry, I'll look after the children.
Oh, that's wonderful. I don't know how to thank you.
You don't have to, dear. Just try to keep smiling.
That was great, Mandy.
That last number was dedicated to you, darling.
Only the last one.
Sorry, Adam. I meant they all were. Do you know who's in the club tonight?
Somebody who's going to put your name in lights right across Broadway.
No joking, Adam. I'm serious. Sam Latcher, the big American impresario. That's him over there.
Where?
See, he's looking over at us.
Oh, Mandy, you're the sweetest thing on 2 feet and probably the best singer in Joburg, but your head is hopelessly in the clouds. If we really knew the truth, Sam Latcher is admiring your figure and voice with the same enthusiasm as every red-blooded male in this nightclub. And business is far, far from his mind.
Why do you always have to knock my hopes and ambitions, Adam? I think that maybe you're a bit jealous.
You're dead wrong. Perhaps I'm a little more practical than you, that's all.
Sam Latcher imports artists from all over the world for his TV spectaculars.
Oh, Mandy, I wish you'd forget all about show business. Get out of the rat race. Settle down.
And marry you.
I've proposed at least a dozen times this month. Well, how about it? I can get long leave from my company and go on a sea cruise for a honeymoon. Oh, come.
come on, darling. You can't say no all your life.
I won't marry you on the terms you want, Adam.
They're the terms that any normal man would expect.
I won't give up my career for you, and that's final. If I get my big break and go to the States or Europe, my husband would have to come with me. Now, when you're prepared to marry me on that condition, then it's a deal.
It's an impossible condition for me. I've worked 8 years in England to make a career for myself, achieve an ambition. I can't throw it all away on your professional pipe dreams.
Oh, pipe dreams, are they? One day you'll look in your newspaper and see my picture. Then you'll cut it out and run round to all your friends to tell them you once knew me.
I think you're letting things go to your head.
I'm not. Just you wait and see.
Look, Mandy, you're pushing 30 now. How long have you been doing the nightclubs, waiting for this big break that never comes, hmm?
Too long, I'll admit. But I'm patient. It must come sooner or later.
There are thousands like you saying the same thing. Surely you realize that.
So you think I'm not good enough?
Yes, you're simply great. But it takes more than that.
Like luck? And being in the right place at the right time and knowing the right people?
Yes.
Well, then that's why I'm sticking around on the nightclub circuit. One day, all those conditions are going to come up at the same time. Then you won't be so darn cynical.
Oh, what's the use? Your career's become an obsession. I can't argue anymore.
That's right. And at the moment, what can you offer me? A house in the suburbs, kids and a hot stove.
A lot more than that, Mandy. You see, today I actually achieved my ambition.
You did? So quickly?
Yes. The cable came this morning from head office in London appointing me to general manager for the South African division.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Well, why didn't you tell me earlier?
Would it have made any difference?
No, Adam, it wouldn't. It's still a choice between your career and mine.
You're a pig-headed wench.
You're so right, darling. And now you've given us an excuse for a celebration. A bottle of the best champagne.
Hmm? Oh, I give up. Champagne it is.
Hello, Mrs. Cove.
Hello, Peter. Is your mummy in?
She's in the kitchen.
Oh, where's Jenny?
Here, behind this tree.
So that's where you're hiding.
That's not fair. That's the house. Still my turn to hide.
It's your fault if you give yourself away.
Those children.
Hello there, Sylvia.
Oh, Mrs. Cope. You gave me quite a start.
Oh, sorry, dear. Still no luck about a job.
Oh, I thought it would be easy, but it isn't.
Such a pity you weren't trained for something.
Well, that's what I've been thinking. All I can get offered is clerical work or shop assistant, and neither pays enough to keep us.
Wish I could help you find a decent job. Old Tom Villune would have helped, but he passed away last month.
Oh, something will come my way, I'm sure of it.
Yes, you must keep trying. Now, how about a nice pot of tea?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. But I don't...
Oh, what's wrong, Sylvia? You've suddenly gone pale, eh?
Well, you see, I've run out of tea.
Just tea and milk and money?
Oh, there's no point in hiding it from you, yes. The money you lent me is all gone. A week's shopping and bus fares and the day-to-day needs soon took care of it.
This is getting serious.
Oh, so serious. I've been praying all day for a miracle to happen.
Well, here's a small miracle for you. It just so happens that I've 10 rand in my purse to spare for emergencies. You can have it.
Oh, Mrs. Cope, I couldn't.
Yes. For the children's sake, you must. Here, take it and get the necessities.
Well, thank you. I don't know what to say. All day I've been wondering what to do, how to get out of this mess.
I'll help you all I can, dear. You're a brave girl.
But not lucky.
Your luck will change, you see.
I wonder.
Don't wonder, dear. Will it to change? That's the positive mindedness you were telling about, remember?
Oh, yes, I was forgetting. Think positive and everything will go right.
And that's what you said.
I'm trying. Heaven knows I'm trying.
Yes, I know you are. But it's not so easy when you've so much on your mind. Now, off you go to the shopper and get your things. And when you come back, call in and have some tea with me. There'll be time before Hubert comes in for his supper.
I think I've enough to last me till the end of the week. I'm sure there's nothing I've forgotten. And I've left myself enough for the bread and milk as I need it. What then? back to square one. Mrs. Cope isn't rich. She can't keep on giving me money like this. Oh, there must be an answer somewhere. Somehow. I'll go and sit down at that bus stop and try and sort things out in my mind. Now or never. Time's catching up on me. Oh, what on earth would I have done without Mrs. Cope's help? Oh, that's better. Now, try and be practical. First of all, we'll have to... What's that under the seat? It's a purse. A fat one. Oh, no, this is cruel, the thing's packed with notes. 10 rat notes. All clipped together in 10, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 800 rats. Oh, is it the miracle I've been praying for? Oh, no. No, I mustn't think of that. It must belong to somebody. To take it is stealing. 1 rand or 1,000 is all the same. I must walk along the road and hand it into the police station. There's no choice, no argument. Who could have lost so much money? Any woman who walks around with that much in her purse is crazy. Almost deserves to lose it. Well, I bet she's rich. Rotten with it. Rolling in it. Oh, I can imagine it. When she gets home and finds it's gone, she'll say to her husband, I lost some money while I was out. Can you let me have a few hundred more to see me through a week? And he'll say yes and scribble off a fat check for her to go and squander. Some people have it, and some people don't. Just my rotten luck to be one of those who don't. But I have. Here, this purse in my hand, 800 rand of it. Whose need is the greater, I wonder? This money would solve all our problems until I can get work and organize things. Dare I? I've Peter and Jenny to think of. There's no name and no address in the purse. I know it's dishonest, but I must.
Adam Paget here.
Hi, Adam. Seems like we've both got our ambitions fulfilled.
You mean you were in the right place at the right time, your luck was in, and you knew the right people all at once?
All at once. This morning my agent phoned me to go and see this Sam Latcher. I clicked, Adam. Oh, and how I clicked.
You're sure?
So sure, I hustled my lawyer to Latcher's hotel suite and signed a fantastic contract.
Well, that's fabulous for you.
I'm leaving for the States next week. Sam Latcher says he's going to build me onto one of his TV shows. And then after that, I'll be doing a series of tours on the West Coast.
Of America?
Well, I'm sure I don't mean Swakopmund. Now, listen, Adam. We've got to celebrate. And by that, I mean a real celebration. You're very quiet. Is something wrong?
You're sure you're doing the right thing?
Oh, no, don't be coming those sour grapes with me. Everything's going to be just dandy. Well, what about it?
About what?
Are you going dim? The celebration, of course.
What about the club?
I'm taking a night off, whether the manager likes it or not.
Okay. I'll pick you up at your flat round 7.
Dead on 7, darling. And we're going to the most expensive place in Joey's, eat the most expensive food, and drink the most expensive booze. And Adam?
Yes?
I want to see you looking happy the whole time. If you know what I mean.
I'll try.
I think it's time you two were in bed.
Oh, no, Mummy.
It's only 8.
Just a few minutes more.
Not another moment. Now, off you go. I'll be out to see you when you said your prayers and tucked yourselves in.
Oh, it's not fair. Why should I have to go to bed at the same time as Jenny? I'm older than she is.
Only a year. Now, come on now, no arguing.
Just let me finish this game.
Please, Peter. Now, don't make me angry.
Oh, all right, then.
Last one in you don't have to go to bed early anyway.
Oh, now I can think properly. I'll let them stay up a bit later tomorrow night, but now I must think. Oh, I feel so awful. Like a common criminal. But it's still not too late to give the money in. No, I couldn't do that. It means too much. I'll just have to live with it, guilty conscience or not. I'll give Mrs. Cope her money back tomorrow and tell her an old friend has helped me out. Yes, that's it. An old friend of Alan's, I'll say. Then I'll go and stock up with a month's groceries.
Will that be all, sir?
Yes, dinner's excellent, thank you.
Anything from the vine, steward, sir?
No, thank you. We'll be going shortly.
Adam, I've eaten so much, I swear you'll have to carry me out.
The patrons might misunderstand and think you're drunk.
I think I'm that, too.
Not that bad, I hope.
I'm going to miss you, darling.
I'm not going to find life so easy without you.
That's not a very romantic way of putting it.
Well, then I'll put it another way. I'm going to miss you so much, I think I'll die.
Don't die, darling. All you have to do is resign and come with me. To have a ball.
I couldn't even think of it. A few months ago, yes. I couldn't start building a new career all over again.
Who said anything about building a career? Do you realize how much I'll be earning? It's 6 figures, you know.
You're suggesting I live on you. Never.
Pride can be a very expensive commodity.
Reverse the situation. You give up this opportunity and settle down with me.
Not on your life.
That's how I feel. We're both stubborn, and because of it, we'll each have to go our own separate ways. A sort of self-inflicted punishment for being successful.
Okay, okay. Don't get morbid about it. We've still got a week left to us.
Some consolation, that is. You're sure you won't be coming back to South Africa?
Only if things go wrong. But I can't see that happening. Anyway, we'd have made a lousy match so far as marriage is concerned. We're always arguing. Oh, and I can't cook.
A risk I was prepared to take.
Well, now you don't have to. Aren't you lucky? Let me see if there are any good jobs I can go after in the classifiers. Oh, almost the same as yesterday's secretaries, shorthand typists, bookkeepers. Oh, I wish I'd taken up something like that when I left school. Hey, that's a thought. I could take a course. I've enough cash to get us by for a couple of months. I wonder how long these courses are. I must find out when I go into town this afternoon.
Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning, Mrs. Cope. Come and sit down. I've just made a fresh pot.
Oh, my. You look a lot better today.
Oh, I feel a lot better.
Can I put it down to the power of positive thought?
Oh, that. And a change in my fortune.
Tell me more.
While I was out yesterday, I met an old friend of Alan's. He's offered to help me until I'm on my feet again.
That's nice. In what way?
Oh, with money. Enough for me to manage on.
No strings attached to it?
Oh, no. I know what you're thinking. No, no. No strings. It's been done with the full approval of his wife.
I see.
She knows me. We were at school together. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me pour out for you.
Oh, I'm so pleased things are working out so nicely. He must have been a very good friend of Alan's.
Oh, his best friend, as a matter of fact. Oh, yes. By the way, here's the 40 rand I borrowed from you. Thank you very much for all you did. I really was grateful for it, as you know.
Are you sure you can spare it? I don't mind waiting.
Oh, please, take it. I'm all right for money now.
Well, thank you, dear. So it was your lucky day yesterday. The miracle you prayed for actually happened. Not like that poor old lady in the paper.
Which old lady?
Well, didn't you read about her? It's on the front page. Poor old dear. Here, I'll show it to you.
Oh, I haven't read the paper yet. Only the situation's vacant column. What happened to her? An accident?
No, she lost a lot of money. Just nearby, too. A pensioner she is. And it was her entire life savings.
Life savings?
Here, look, I'll read it to you. Pensioner loses her life savings. Late yesterday, elderly Mrs. Paget dropped her purse containing 800 rands at the Paul Hill bus stop. Realizing her loss only moments after, she returned to the bus stop only to find it gone. She had drawn out the money in order to travel to England to find her son, who went there to live 8 years ago, and she'd lost touch with him. Having lost her husband a few months ago, her son is Mrs. Paget's only living relation. Then it goes on to tell you where the son went to and how they came to lose contact with each other. Shame, though, isn't it, Sylvia?
It's awful. The poor woman... It's a tragedy.
Yes, the poor old soul. She must be feeling terrible.
Does it say where she lives?
You see, yes, in town, a block of flats in Collar Street.
Collar Street? Oh, that's near the park, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, you know, life's funny. Perhaps perverse is the better word for it.
How do you mean?
Well, as soon as one person is over their misfortune, so another gets crushed under. Poor old soul doesn't stand a dog's chance of getting her savings back. Shame.
Oh, I don't know so much. Even a dishonest person can have their conscience pricked by a story like that. Do you send for me, sir?
Yes, I want you to take a letter.
Oh, here's your morning paper, sir. You left it on my desk when you came in.
Oh, thanks. I'll read it later. The letter is to Mr. Moran of Bayer Plastics.
Yes?
It goes, Dear Mr. Moran, with reference to your quotation, which we received on the 15th of March.
Yes, sir? Is something wrong?
This is incredible. It's my mother, Miss Jackson.
I don't understand.
Have you read this morning's paper?
Yes.
Did you read about an old lady who lost a lot of money?
Yes. Yes, I remember now.
That dear old lady is my mother. She was going to start searching for me, just as I was going to start searching for her. The only trouble is, she'd have been looking for me in England, and I'd have been looking for her in Durban.
Oh, really?
What a stroke of luck she lost that money. Miss Jackson.
Yes, sir?
Get right on the phone and book me a seat on the next available flight to Durban.
But the board meeting this afternoon, sir?
The day I let a board meeting take precedence over my mother will never dawn. Hurry, Miss Jackson. Never let it be said you stood in the way of a family reunion.
Hello, Mr. Paget's office.
Put me through to Mr. Paget, please.
Who's calling?
Mandy Reynolds. Surely you recognize my voice by now.
Yes. I'm sorry, Miss Reynolds. Mr. Paget is on his way to Durban.
Durban? You must be joking. What's he gone there for?
Well, it was something he saw in the paper this morning. You see...
Listen, how long ago did he leave?
Oh, only a few minutes ago.
By air, or is he driving down?
By air. He'll still be on the way to the airport.
Oh, what flight, do you know?
11:30.
Okay, thanks. I'll catch him.
I don't think Mr. Paget will be too pleased about that.
Oh, thank you. No, it's all right. Keep the change.
Oh, making a quick getaway.
Oh, Mandy, you must have spies everywhere.
I presume you won't object if I sit down. Your flight isn't due to take off for 30 minutes yet.
You're being sarcastic, sweetie. It shows.
Well, what's the big hurry to get to Durban? Found a replacement for me already?
In a way, if one can call a mother a replacement.
What's your mother got to do with anything? I didn't even know you had one.
We all have mothers. Even you had one.
Okay, I'll give you that. So, what's so urgent about seeing her?
Oh, I'll give it to you quickly. You see, when I left South Africa and took a job in England, I lost contact.
Oh.
I moved, they moved, and we just lost track of each other. We're due to open a branch office in Durban soon. I was going to take the opportunity while I was there of looking them up. My father worked on the railways. Anyway, when I got to the office this morning, I picked up the paper. There it was. She was about to set off looking for me.
Well, that's really some coincidence. It still doesn't explain why you were going to run off without kissing me goodbye. After all, we were a bit more than just pals.
I'm sorry about that, Mandy. I'd just that one thing on my mind.
Yes, pretty tear-jerking and all that, but you should have spared one tiny thought for me. Had I not rung the secretary, do you know I'd never have seen you again? Do you realize that?
Perhaps it would have been better. I don't like goodbyes, especially at railway stations and airports.
I don't either. But this is different, Adam.
Why?
Because it's a parting I don't want. It's forever. I find it very hard. We meant a lot to each other.
That's right. But it's over. You've got your career to think of, and I've got mine. They don't fit together.
But we do.
We can't have it both ways.
Seeing you here like this, it's making me have second thoughts about going to America. Oh, you're right. I could be a big flop. What then? I'd have lost everything.
You won't flop, Mandy. You're too much of a go-getter. You're merely suffering the last-minute pangs of remorse. There's no going back now.
You're sure?
100% positive. Think of the bright lights of Miami and Las Vegas. Do you really want to throw away your big chance?
No. But I think I love you.
You see, you only think. What was it you said last night? Something about us making a lousy match if we were married. You're a lousy cook, and we'd always be arguing.
But it could be fun trying.
No, it wouldn't. You know it. Look, we had a great time while it lasted. You've got a fantastic future ahead of you, so don't even think of throwing it away. You'd spend the rest of your life blaming me while you spend your time over a hot stove in the suburbs.
I reckon you've got a lot more sense than I have, Adam. Oh, you're dead right, of course, but I'm glad I came here to see you off.
Oh, that smile makes me feel better. I begin to feel like a husband running out and his wife and 10 kids.
You'll write to me. Promise?
I promise. But where do I write to?
I'll care of my agent until I know where I am and what I'm doing.
Okay. And I'll send you my permanent address then. I have a feeling I may be living in Durban in the future.
Well, darling, I'll say goodbye here. Look after yourself. I'll never forget you. Give my love to your mum.
Goodbye, darling. God bless. I hope you get everything you ever wanted.
I seem to be losing today. But thanks all the same.
What she was doing. What's this? She must have pushed it under my door.
Oh, who's this man getting out here? Oh, does it matter? There are 9 flats on this floor. Even the old lady might not connect me with the envelope. She didn't see it when she opened the door.
Yes, what is it? Adam.
What's for supper, Ma?
Oh, Adam. I thought I was never going to see you again.
It's been a long time.
Too long. Too long.
Oh, wipe those tears away, Ma. I'm back in South Africa for good.
Oh, I don't know what to say. Only a few minutes ago, I was so depressed, and now...
And now you have a family.
Oh, there's so much I have to tell you. But first, I want to know all about you. That's it. I've done it. Back to square one. What now? Oh, I feel better in a way. I've done the right thing. Her need was greater than mine. Poor little old lady all alone, trying to find her son. Wonder if she'll ever find him. I have to get the bus home, and by the time I paid the fare, I'm broke again. Oh, well, it was nice while it lasted. I hope the missing 70 rand doesn't affect her plans. I must pay it back when I get a chance.
Another slice of cake, Adam.
Oh, it's the best tasting cake I've had in years. But no, it's too fattening.
It's women who must watch their figures, not men. Come on, just one more piece.
Okay. Who am I to argue? So the girl who returned your money owes you 70 rand, you say?
Not really. She deserves that much as a reward. But now that I've found you, she could have kept it all.
Yes. In a roundabout way, she did us a great favor by finding it. When you went back to the bus stop, had you found it, there would have been no newspaper report, and by the time I'd have traced your whereabouts, you'd have been on your way to England.
Instead, everything's worked out perfectly. She looked so terrified when I opened the door. She backed away as though I were a monster.
Probably thought you'd demand to know where the missing 70 rand was.
Oh, you must have seen the poor girl when you came out of the lift. She'd only just gone when you knocked on the door.
Yes, a girl did get into the lift, wearing a bluish cardigan.
Yes, yes, she was.
Yes, I thought when I saw her she looked rather furtive. Nice-looking girl, sir.
I wish I knew who she is. I don't want her to return that money to me. Maybe she's in need. Why else would she have taken it?
Good point, Ma. Here, let me see that note.
Read it.
Very brief and strictly anonymous. No name, no address, nothing.
Maybe I'll see her around town. If I do, I'll have a chat with her. Tell her it's all right. I could even give her some more money for her honesty.
Would you recognize her?
Oh, clearly.
No, please don't. Well, how can I cook without electricity? And the light?
I'm sorry, lady. I've got my instructions.
But can't you give me a few more days? Say... a week?
I wish I could. Honestly, I do. Once the order for disconnection is issued, that's that.
So there's nothing can be done?
Nothing. Only if you pay the bill.
Yoo-hoo, Sylvia.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Cope.
Am I interrupting,
sir? I was just going. Sorry, I can't help you. Cheerio.
There's something wrong, isn't there, Sylvia?
Very much so. They've cut off my electricity.
Oh, shame. If you hurry into town and pay the account, perhaps they'll turn it on again today.
I'm afraid it's not that simple.
You haven't enough money.
No.
But I thought everything was all right. Your husband's best friend had given you enough to manage on.
Oh, he did. I mean, he was going to. He gave me some.
You haven't told me the truth, have you, Sylvia?
No, I haven't.
You're shaking, dear. Sit down and tell me all about it. You don't have to lie to me, you know.
Yes, I think it'll make me feel better if I get it off my mind. You know the old lady who lost the money?
It was hers.
Yes.
I sensed it this morning when I told you about it. You flushed and your hands started to shake.
I thought I was going to faint.
You've returned it to her.
Well, except for 70 rand. I had to pay you back and I also paid a bill.
Well, dear, there's no time to tell me all about it now. We've got to get your lights turned on again.
But how?
By paying the account, dear. I'm going to give you back the money you returned to me. But you'll have to hurry.
I
Adam, I won't be a minute, dear.
You wait in the car. I'll get it for you, Mum.
No, let me go. I like to do my own shopping. I'm just going into that shop over there.
I'd come with you, but I've just spotted a meter maid down there. We're in a loading zone.
I'll be as quick as I can.
Well, the girl said she'd try and get the electricity turned on again before the men knock off. I hope she can. Maybe I'd better buy a few candles just in case. Oh, yes, and some cold meat. Some greens to make a salad for supper. Oh, I'd better hurry, too. It's getting late. Ah, here's the shop. Oh, heavens, it's that old lady. Has she seen me?
Oh, my dear, hello. You remember me?
No, I'm sorry.
Come back. Please, come back here. Oh, she looked terrified. What's wrong with her? I'll never find her now among all those shoppers. Oh, dear, what a pity. That, Adam, the girl who returned the money.
Oh, I wish I had, Ma. She's one little girl I'd like to make friends with.
I've just seen her. When I tried to speak to her, she ran off as though I were a monster. I wonder why.
Hello? Hello, is that Mackeson's Furnishers? Well, this is Mrs. Latimer. Of 18 Dorian Crescent. I'd like to sell most of my furniture, and I saw your advertisement in the paper. Yes, I'll be in tomorrow morning. About 10? Yes, that'll be fine. Thank you.
I think you're making a mistake, dear. It takes a long time to build a home, and you get nothing near what your things are worth.
What option do I have? There's no other way out of this mess. I tried being brave and positive, but it's got me nowhere. All right, so I was lucky today and I got a job. But the wages will barely feed us, let alone pay the bond on this house. By selling up, we can live in a furnished flat, and it will save me a few extra rand to play with. First and foremost, I must pay back that Mrs. Paget. I couldn't bear meeting her again, not like yesterday.
You should have listened to what she had to say, Sylvia, instead of running off like that.
But I couldn't help it. Call it a guilty conscience if you like, but I literally ran. And last night, I lay awake for hours thinking about it. I stole her money, and there's no other way of looking at it.
But you gave it back.
Less 70 rand. And that much could mean the difference between being able to fly off and find her son or not.
I see what you mean.
You see, if I sell the furniture tomorrow, I'll be able to pay her back right away.
Well, there must be another way, Sylvia. It makes me shudder to think of you selling us like this.
Oh, look at it like this, please, Mrs. Cope. I won't get paid for over a month. And when I do, it'll all go instantly on food and the repayments of debts. And I can't take it anymore. I'm tired of pretending that everything's going to be all right. In the last few weeks, my whole world has crumbled about, you know, I think that if it wasn't for the children, I'd kill myself.
Oh, no, dear.
Don't look at me like that. I would. I mean it.
I'll stop that. You mustn't talk or even think that.
There's a limit to what I can bear.
I know, dear. Let the tears come. There's nothing like a good cry to clear the head and cleanse the mind.
If only I knew what to do. The right thing to do.
I'm going to start making Hubert's supper in a few minutes. Would you and the children like to have yours with us?
No, we couldn't.
I take it that means yes.
Oh, that must be the house, number 18.
It's after 9, Adam. She could be in bed.
No, I can see her downstairs later. Come on, Ma.
But who could that be at this time of night?
Well, you'll never know if you don't go and see. Good evening, Mrs. Latimer.
Good evening.
I'd like you to meet my son, Adam.
Your son? But I thought...
He was in South Africa and read about me in the newspaper.
Oh, I'm so glad. Look, if you've called about the money I owe you, I can pay you back tomorrow.
Look, I know it's late, but we'd both love to have a talk to you. Do you mind?
Oh, I'm sorry. Please, come here.
Thank you.
What a pleasant room.
A lot of excellent antiques, too.
I don't think any of them are genuine. My late husband often brought home odd things he picked up at sales.
I love that writing bureau, don't you, Adam?
Beautiful. It's Queen Anne.
Oh, let me introduce you to my friend, Mrs. Cope. This is Mr. and Mrs. Paget. Oh,
pleased to meet you, Mrs. Cope.
How do you do?
Mrs. Cope knows what happened about the money.
Good. Then we can talk about it.
Oh, please sit down. Make yourselves comfortable.
I know it's getting late, so I'll be brief and to the point. The 70 rand plus the 30 rand I've put in this envelope is your reward for finding and returning my money. Please take it with my deepest thanks.
Oh, please. No, I can't accept that. It's too much.
Take it, my dear. I insist. Finding my sons made me the happiest woman on earth, and I'd like you to share some of that happiness with me. You're instrumental in our reunion, and so you deserve it.
I can't accept it. In effect, you'll be rewarding me for being dishonest. You see, when I first found it, I had no intention of giving it back.
Until she read about your plight in the newspaper, Mrs. Badger.
And I did steal the 70 rand. You didn't lend it to me.
You didn't steal it. That money was part of your reward. As for your original intention of spending all the money on yourself, I think I can understand that, too. In your circumstances, it must have been a terrible temptation.
What do you know of my circumstances?
We made some inquiries. That's how we knew where to find you.
You checked up on me? But how?
Does it matter? We came here in the hope that we could put your mind at rest.
Do you realize what would have happened had you either left my purse where you found it or taken it into the police station?
Well, no, I...
The story would never have got into the papers, and my mother would have gone all the way to England on a wild goose chase. The money would have been spent for nothing.
Oh, it would have broken my heart.
So you see how we appreciate what you did, even though you didn't know what the result would be.
He's right, Sylvia. You indirectly saved the situation. Now, please, take this envelope.
Don't be stubbornly proud, Sylvia. Take it. You can't afford not to. Well, thank you very much. I will.
Oh, now that's settled. There's something else I'd like to say. I heard you were looking for a good job.
Oh, I had one offered this morning.
Oh, is it confirmed? Are you committed to take it?
Well, not really. Why?
Well, while I'm in Durban, I shall be establishing a sales office. I urgently need a lady to act as a personal assistant to the manager to handle telephone orders. Do you think you could manage it?
I can't type very well or do shorthand.
You won't need to. It's a responsible job, though, and carries a very high salary.
I don't know what to say.
Well, if you say yes, you'll be doing me a favor.
Well, yes. I'd love to. But you take me on just like that?
Well, I'm a good judge of character, and I can't think of anybody else I'd rather have.
Well, thank you. Oh, I'm so overwhelmed by all this kindness. I just don't know what to say. How to thank you.
Yes, so I hear. You keep repeating yourself.
I hope we're going to be very good friends in the future, my dear.
I hope so, too.
If you don't mind, may I pick you up here in the morning and show you around? I found a nice office this morning. I'd like your opinion on it.
Don't worry about Jenny and Peter. I'll look after them.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Cope. What time, Mr. Paget?
Around 10 o'clock, sir. We can have lunch together, too, if you don't mind.
Oh, you mustn't spoil me before I start work.
Oh, it'll be a strictly business lunch. Well, at least 20%, sir.
It's getting late, Adam.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to offer you some tea.
That's all right, dear. Another time, perhaps. We must go now. It'll soon be my bedtime. Good night, Mrs. Cope.
Good night, Mrs. Paget. Mr. Paget.
Good night. We hope to see you again.
Oh, I do love that bureau.
And that small table.
Would you consent to sell them to me? You see, Adam's going to redecorate and refurnish my flat, and they'd look so lovely with the other things I have in mind.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure they're not worth much. You can have them.
Oh, not on your life. They're both genuine Queen Anne. Do you realize that?
Oh, but they can't be. When Alan brought them home, he said they were reproductions.
He was wrong. I know genuine antiques and their value. Together, they're worth at least 500 rand, considering their condition.
They're beautiful.
If you're willing to take my word on that, would you let us have them for 500?
500?
Well, I'm sure you must be making a mistake.
Well?
Well, I'd be much happier if you had them examined by an expert first.
I am an expert. To me, they're worth it. I was planning to buy something like these anyway. Rather from you than an antique dealer. Is it a deal?
Yes.
Good. We'll fix it all up tomorrow.
Oh, thank you, Adam. Oh, I can just see them against that wallpaper we chose.
Oh, blast. I left my cigarettes and lighter in the lounge. May I go in and get them?
Oh, it's all right. I'll get them for you.
No, it won't take a second. I know exactly where they are. Let my mother tell you about it, Vinko. Thanks a lot for calling us and telling us about her plight, Mrs. Cope.
And thank you for what you've done for her. If only you knew what it means.
I have a good idea. By the way, you're a good actress.
You and your mother are in the Academy Award class. But please, never tell her that I came to you. It would hurt her pride, and that's taken a lot of blows lately.
No, don't worry. I look after her. I'm already planning her future. And not just in a business sense.
Heavens, already?
I think I've found what I've always been looking for.
Then you've been looking for gold. And that's what Sylvia is. Pure, shining gold.
Adam, come along, dear.
Must go. See you again.
Before you go, tell me something. Are those antiques genuine?
How should I know? I don't know an Adam Bureau from an Adam's apple. Cheerio.
Oh, Mrs. Cope, I just can't believe it.
Neither can I, dear. All your problems solved in one fell swoop. A job and money to spend.
And a clear conscience.
Yes, that was very important to you.
Oh, isn't he a treasure? And his mother, too, of course.
Salt of the earth.
Do you know something? I think I'm going to simply love working for him.
I'm sure you are.
You have been listening to Life vs. Mrs. Latimer by Ron Edens, produced for Playhouse 74 by Delphine Lethbridge. As Sylvia, you heard Jill Fenson, and Glyn Day as the businessman. The part of Mrs. Paget was played by Jeppy Milton, Mrs. Coppy by Midge Doherty. Jenny was played by Mandy Grunt, and Peter by Derek Holes. Maureen Adair played the parts of Mandy and the Secretary, and Brian Darnley, the parts of the electrician and insurance agent.